Thank you, David. I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand before thee today and praise the Lord. What a beautiful day. So good to see everybody here and your smiling faces and thankful for our guests that are here and for those that are live streaming. Welcome. I'm going to call my sermon a trust in the Lord today, and got some reasons for that, but I thought I'd start out and mention a few things. I had mentioned a man in Poland, I think it was a sacrament service, whose part-time job in Poland, he's a young man, I think he's in his mid-20s, he disassembles World War II bombs, and one went off, and he was in the hospital for quite some time. I made contact with him again, and he'd been richly blessed. He ended up with a concussion. He broke bones in his hand and two in his arm and five ribs, but he didn't have any wounds. His equipment protected him, and he's back into my classes, and which I'm thankful for. And I appreciate all your prayers. I appreciate your prayers for me. You know, we've been asking for prayers that if it be the Lord's will, I'd be able to get a transplant. And I applied again at Mayo Clinic, and they had to turn me down because of all my cancer and all my other problems, surgeries and hearts. But I'm thankful for your prayers. We have a need to remember our missionaries, that some of those that are right out in the field right now, our brother Mike and Gordon in the Philippines, our brothers Dwayne and Brian were unable to travel to Africa at this time, but they hope to be able to do in October. There are some internal reasons there in Kenya that they were unable, did not think it would be safe for them to travel. We've got Bob Oldham that's been out for a month or two now and still there. I guess he's going to come home for his sister-in-law's funeral the next weekend, but then go right back with Jennifer. He's in Michigan right now, and you know, he's really had a blessed trip. You know, I talk to him every once in a while. He's got three or four people lined up for a baptism class that he hopes to be able to start after he gets back, and he's just doing a good work. He's traveled a lot of miles, had a lot of problems with, or has had some problems with his truck, lost the transmission, and it's been a hard journey for him. But you know, there's brothers here that travel throughout the United States besides the ones that go to those foreign lands. Our brother Joel's out in the field someplace. Hubert called me, and you know, he's kind of limited. Hubert Yates, and mainly does phone calls. And he got a call from a lady that was at a funeral that he and I performed on a Navajo reservation in the early 90s. And it was somebody he had worked with, and she's hoping to come down, and she's studying the Bible with her daughter, and she's hoping to come down and spend 4 or 5 days with Hubert and his family. So you might remember her in your prayers and her daughter as they search for the truth. Don't remember her first name, but Mrs. Stewart and her daughter. And so that was kind of, you know, we never know. 20 years later, out of nowhere, you get a phone call, some contact that you made. Sometime you made a comment to somebody. Doesn't have to be, you know, contact in the missionary field right here. Somebody that's searching for the truth. And that's what we've been called to do. And I praise God for the opportunities that he gives us. I'm thankful for the gospel of Christ and for the scriptures and the fact that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a wonderful blessing. We know we have a God that doesn't change. I have a great hope in Zion in the second coming and millennial reign of Christ. You know, the scriptures talk about it in several different places. I'm going to read from Revelation 20, verses 1 through 5. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. You know, the Book of Mormon speaks of that in Ether, and it talks about two places of refuge. One here in New Jerusalem and one in Jerusalem of old will both be built up holy cities under the Lord. And the Lord will gather his people from the nations of the world. You know, this spot, the temple lot here, it is dedicated to that belief. And we represent that. This morning, I'm going to use some of the words of Solomon in Proverbs, and bear with me a second because I got my pages in the wrong order. In 1 Kings, in the third chapter, 1 Kings 3rd, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in unrighteousness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him from this great, kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child." At the time he was made king, he was 15 years old. Think of that, teenagers. King of Israel, of north and south. "I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted before a multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge the people, that I may discern between good and bad. And who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto them, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and thou hast asked for thyself long life, neither hath asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked for life, of thy enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words, though I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be many among the kings like unto thee all thy days, not be many among kings. It goes on in chapter 4 of Kings. I'm going to read a couple verses there, starting in the 29th verse of chapter 4 of 1 Kings. And it goes and says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much in largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east of the country and all the wisdom of Egypt. And he was wiser than all men. You know, the Lord just richly blessed him with wisdom and understanding, and goes on in verse 32 and says, and he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005, and we find those in the scriptures. And he had understanding of all things of the Lord had blessed him because of his faith and because of his prayer. And he went on to reign about 50 years or something like that before he died. But he had made a mistake. He ended up with many wives and concubines, and he allowed them to bring their idolatry in and build temples. And he lost the whole kingdom, or at least half of it, I guess. But he left these proverbs for us. Here's where I got my pages mixed up. I'm back on track. I'm going to start with Proverbs, first chapter. And it kind of sets the stage for the thoughts today. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the reasons he gave these Proverbs. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young men knowledge and discretion, or to give them understanding of the things and reminders to us. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. He's petitioning us to read those proverbs, to know wisdom and instruction, to increase learning. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So we'd understand these things. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. He's telling us, don't be a fool. Read Proverbs. It's instructions for us in our daily life. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Listen to your mothers and fathers. Don't listen to those that entice you to sin. Don't have any part of them. We, Webster's Dictionary defines knowledge and wisdom as the capacity to make do. And knowledge is the capacity to make do to use it. The fact that Solomon asked for not just knowledge, but insight on how to apply the knowledge effectively. That's what it's telling us to do. Ask also for the wisdom and how to apply it. In Proverbs 2, I'm going to read a couple verses. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, if you put those things in your heart, my commandments, and you act upon them, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for a hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For God giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Anyone know what a buckler is? Any of you kids? It's a small shield that they wore on their arm to protect themselves in battle. But they're saying the Lord will be a buckler to us. He'll protect us. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the ways of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment, equity, yea, every good path. He's telling us to pray for wisdom, read the Proverbs, pray for understanding, and we'll understand righteousness and judgment and equity for every good path. When wisdom enters into thy heart, knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. You know, the Lord doesn't require of us the sacrifices that he gave to the Lord, the blood sacrifices that Solomon did. What does he require us for our sacrifice? Anybody know? Broken heart and a contrite spirit. Thank you. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For a length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write upon the table of thy heart. Remember to be merciful. Remember to forgive others. Remember to seek the truth. Keep them before our eyes. So shalt thou find favor and understanding in the sight of God and men. We're to magnify the Lord in the light of our life, and that it shines within us, and others know. You know, we're called a peculiar people. He's called us out of the world. Every one of us that's here today, to worship Him, to glorify Him in our life, to place our faith and trust in Him completely. I'm going to go on here in Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. And in all his ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, I had a deal here a week or two ago, and Sue said something on Wednesday night about it on the phone church, but I was having a AFib situation. She was thinking of scripture, and she said, where does it say, you know, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy understanding, and in all his ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths. And, I gave her the wrong reference, but we looked it up and had a prayer and that the Lord would take that away from me. So we placed our faith and trust in him, and he did. So I acknowledge that these things that Solomon say is true. And they're the truth, and we need to put them to practice in our life. Had a little thing here yesterday, looking for some tools in Bob Oldham's garage for our lawnmower. And his garage and my garage are not the most organized garages in the world. And I had looked and looked and looked for this tool, and then I remember this. And I said a short prayer, and for something that I had looked for at least four times, I found it. And I want to praise God for that. Trust the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Think about all the different ways. How can we acknowledge the Lord in our life? Just think of, you know, anybody want to name a few of them? We can praise him. We can, you know, we can live a life to serve him. We can put him first in our life. We can believe what he says is the truth and put it to practice in our life. We can tell others of the miracles we know of. And what a wonderful miracle we heard this morning of Dan being able to go back to work part-time. That is unbelievable. Only God could do something like that. And I praise him for us. And we have the opportunity to tell others Dan's testimony. You know, when they ask you how you're doing, I say, well, I heard a wonderful testimony at church this morning. We can magnify the Lord in our life. We can let our light shine before others. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is not only in solemn worship or great crisis only, but in all thy ways. And then God will make the path straight and even. When I look up words and everything and for synonyms and everything, I find that trust, faith, belief, or belief in Christ all have the same meaning. And you know, those, our trust, our faith, our belief in Christ gives us hope of eternal life. And we need to acknowledge that. I'm taking some physical therapy the other day, and I got in a conversation with my physical therapist that I had that day, and he was bemoaning the spiritual condition of the United States. And was he quoted... He quoted some information to me, which I asked for. It's a Pew Research of, I think it's 2018. And it says, the religious landscape of the United States continues to change at a rapid clip. In Pew Research Center telephone surveys conducted in 2018 and 2019, 65% of American adults ascribe themselves as Christians. When asked about their religion, down 12% over the last decade. Meanwhile, the religiously unaffiliated share of the population, consisting of people who describe their religious identity as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, now stands at 26%, up from 17% in 2009. So and it goes on, and it says teens are less likely than their parents to pray daily, 27% versus 48%, to believe in God with absolute certainty, 40% versus 63% 10 years ago, and to consider religion rather important in their lives, 24% versus 43% 10 years ago. So we find that, you know, what he said and his concern is we all agree when we read those. And yet we know that we have to place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We know that we can have a need to acknowledge him in our life and to bear witness and testimony of him and to reach out to others. You know, we all have a hope of Zion. Do you have a hope of Zion? Or do you have a hope and a desire to be numbered among the righteous on that day when Christ comes back and dwells here for 1,000 years? Have you thought about that? What's our requirement? You know, we need to be able to acknowledge him in our life. We need to let our light shine. We need to pray daily. We need to follow the words of Solomon and his Proverbs and get an understanding of them and the other scriptures, the wonderful scriptures that we have. Now, how to obtain eternal life? A hope of Zion, a hope of eternal life. I'm going to read from Alma in chapter 17 and starting in verse 65, and I believe it's on page 441. And now, my son, remember the words which I have spoken unto you. Trust not those secret plans to our children. Preach unto them repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest in their souls. And remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth, yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Read those things, find out what they are, and put them to practice in our life. And cry unto God with all thy support, yea, in other words, prayer. Cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, whatsoever thou go, wheresoever thou, or whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let thy affections of the heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Promise of God. We should be praying to him constantly. Acknowledge that he is, and we want him to lead us and direct us in our life. Help us to overcome our weaknesses and our sins. Help us to be numbered among the righteous at the day of the second coming of Christ. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord. Say a prayer, that you may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if you do these things, you shall, what? Be lifted up at the last day. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Do you believe it? You put your faith and trust in the word of God that's in the scriptures? Or do you just think they're there to read? You know, the Lord requires us to acknowledge him. I've got a kind of a crazy story here. No, let me go to something. That man who gave me the Pew Research information, you know, I told him the church I went to, and I was a missionary, and we believed in the Bible, the Book of Mormon, and the Book of Mormon said this about this land. And I'm going to read from Ether 1, verse 35. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ, which hath been manifested by the things which have been written. We have to serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. This land of bountiful that he's provided for us. What a blessing. You know, I was talking to that man in Poland, and he lives 300 miles from the border in Russia. And he says, you know, we have been run over all our lives. There is no natural boundaries. He said the United States has an Atlantic Ocean and a Pacific Ocean that protects them from Europe and Russia and everybody. And, you know, they can drive right in. It's flat land, no rivers, nothing. I mean, they have rivers, but nothing that, you know, that separates them. And that's one way, that just a small way that the Lord has blessed this land. Choice land. We serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. I've had, who knows what a root canal is? I promised my dentist I'd say this. You kids know what a root canal is? Anybody had a root canal done from your dentist? Well, I had two done in the last month. And to make a long story short, I was nervous. Everything I heard about it was terrible, and I was really blessed. And when I went in for my second one, actually I had some trouble with that, I asked the dentist about the process. And I had two teeth back here that had to have root canals. And what they do is they numb you, and then he gave me five shots or something, so I couldn't feel anything, which is wonderful. And they take the infected nerve and the pulp out, and they remove it, and it's done. And they fill it up with something good, and then they cap it, and they save the tooth. Think about that. And I said, I had to use that as a sermon. You know, that's a little bit like repenting of our sins, getting them out, removing them, and putting them in, putting something else in their place. Praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be saved if we endure to the end. He said, well, I've never heard a root canal in a sermon before. But I thought it was something that you're, you know, it's hard to get rid of our sins. It's difficult. We have to ask God to help us, that we might not have the will to sin, that he'd remove that from us. And keep on praying to him, because the devil is out there trying to deceive each and every one of us. No matter who we are or how long we've been in the church or if we're not in the church. You know, we have to remove those things. I'm going to go back to Proverbs in chapter 3 and 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It'll bring you good things, is what it's saying. Honor the Lord with your substance, and with the first fruits of all thy increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. for whom the Lord, you know, we should look forward to the Lord admonishing us and correct us. Because he loves us, just like our parents admonish us and correct us. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. You know, we're to seek that. We're to place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He's a rewarder of those that what? Diligently seek him. I hope we consider some of the things that I have mentioned today, and that we'd consider reading Proverbs and praying about those things that are given, and ask for direction in our life, and place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, and he will bless us. You know, we have to believe in Christ by our actions, not that he just was an entity, but you know, the devil believed that and feared. We have a need to magnify him in our life and put him first in our life. And just consider this, you know, the Proverbs and the scriptures that they're fairly easy to read. And to get an understanding and pray about those things. And of course, we're told in the scriptures, we're to have charity, the bond of perfectness. Moroni talks about it and says we should pray for it with all the energy of heart, that we might cleave unto. He says, be found well with us in the last day if we have it. We're to pray for all things, for charity, for strength, for wisdom, for understanding, placing our faith and trust in the fact that the Lord will guide us and direct us. And those of us that have been baptized in the Church of Christ, we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to use that Spirit of truth, that Spirit that will teach us all things we need to do and know to have eternal life. Are we praying for that? Are we using that? Are we acknowledging that? Are we cherishing that gift and putting it to practice in our life? So I hope that, and I exhort us I'm going to read Moroni 10, starting in verse 27. It's the last page of the Book of Mormon. Again, I would exhort you, this is Moroni talking, the prophet, great man, and a brother in Christ. And again, I will exhort you that you would come unto Christ and lay hold upon every good gift and touch not the evil gift nor the unclean thing. Come unto the Christ and lay hold. Use him as our Lord and Savior. Use his words to lift us up and correct us. Let him admonish us and direct us in our life. And touch not the evil gift or the unclean thing. Don't have anything to do with the things of the world. And awake and arise from thy dust, O daughter of Zion. Talking about us. And put on the beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion, and strengthen thy stakes and enlarge the borders forever, that thou mayest no more be confounded, that the covenants of the eternal God which he made unto thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him. Deny yourselves of all ungodliness. Search that out in our life. Measure our life and the things that we spend our time and thoughts and monies on, against the scriptures. Deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength. All your physical and emotional strength and your spiritual strength and the might that we get from God. For then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. I thank you for your time. I'm thankful for the opportunity we had to be here today, and I pray that you'll consider these things and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Thank you.